Okay.
So, one of the interesting branches of Musar, Charlie, you can listen, it won't kill you. One of the interesting branches of Musar was the Kelm branch, Chelm. People make fun of Kelm in the storybooks, the silly people of Chelm. The people in Chelm weren't so silly. They were probably one of the smartest populations in Europe. And one of the great students of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Simcha Zisel Brody of Kelm, started a school there, many schools in the area, which were so well run that the Prussian authorities sent their agents to inspect the school, not to shut them down as they were in Volozhin for not teaching Russian, but to inspect the school as a model for all Prussian schools. They taught secular studies, limited, fascinating, fascinating personality of Simcha Zisel Brody. He changed his name to Ziv at some point. And here's a student of Yisrael Salanter, and he was a Rebbe of the Altar of Slobodka. So he was really the forerunner of modern Musar, which celebrates Godless Adam rather than Katniss Adam, rather than making man feel less and diminished, man is great and has potential. One of the many traits in Kelm that were seen as the pivots of religious growth were intelligence, that their work at being intelligent. Doesn't sound like Musar. We normally associate Musar with screaming and chanting and thinking, intelligence, and thought. Anyway, so this week's Parsha, very, very brief concept. Okay, if you look at Parsha's Vayera, a little bit in Shmos, but primarily in Vayera, it sounds as if Moshe has a double face-off. He's facing off with Pyro most of the time, but he's also running this secondary, low-level skirmish and feud with the Chartumim. Who cares about the Chartumim? Why do we care so much about the Chartumim Mitzrayim? So, the simple reason is because the Chartumim are iconic of the black magic and the voodoo and this old-style paganism. Remember, paganism and black magic are joined at the hip. So Moshe is trying to deliver a world of monotheism, which ultimately becomes a world of ration and science that replaces monotheism in addition to monotheism. So he's defeating the Chartumim. If you're looking for the Makkah in which this face-off with the Chartumim comes to a head, it's Shchin, where the Torah says, V'lo yachlu ha-Chartumim la'mol b'fnei Moshe. Why they are afflicted with Shchin in particular, why they can't stand in front of Moshe, that's a whole separate story. But that's the simple read of the Chartumim. He has a totally different read of the Chartumim. His read of the Chartumim are basically Paro fits the profile, the silly king, the tyrant who's driven by his lust for power, the abusive monarch who has a harem of women, and whose lust and whose arrogance. He's not a thinker, he's not an educated person, he's an Achashverosh figure, a silly, folly-filled monarch who just can't get out of his own way. Not in the same way Achashverosh is, because of his lust for power, because of his ultimate absolute authority. Was the Chartumim, they're college educated. They went to the University of Alexandria. These are thinkers of the day, obviously. And they should know better. Because these are people who are pursuers of truth. And pursuing truth is the way you find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that allows you to see things as they are, to receive input. So Paro is lost in this maelstrom of will, desire, lust, arrogance, ego, authority. These are people, these are gushkai. These are people that are thinkers and educated. They've gotten the diplomas, chispin, they got to the greatest schools. And he sees this as a tragedy where your narrative precedes your search for truth. Where you're so caught in your preconceptions and so caught in the way you see things that you're not able to even pursue the truth, and you bend the truth to fit the narrative. Now where he gets this from is fascinating. I don't see any of this in the Chartumim. The only thing you have is a fascinating conversation between Moshe and the Chartumim and names of two Chartumim. The Gemara names names in Menachos. There's a two-line throwaway in Menachos, in Pehei, in which two Chartumim come to Moshe. Their names are Yochana, which is a very Egyptian name, and Mamre, which is an interesting Egyptian name. I never knew Mamre was an Egyptian name. Sounds to me Mamre was Avram's host in Hebron. Okay, but Yochana and Mamre come to Moshe and they say, Teven ata machnis l'afarayim. Afarayim was a sand silo where they used to store their grain in a sandy area. It kept it cool, it kept it protected. So you're bringing grain to an afarayim to a granary. We have tons of grain in Mitzrayim. You're trying to bring new grain into Mitzrayim. We have magicians here. And you're trying to perform magic acts? Now Moshe should have told them, hey smarty pants, you guys are smart enough to realize by this point already, this is not a magic act. This is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the difference between your black magic and between my description of a creator who can ransack nature and can impose his will on nature. But yet Moshe plays their game. Moshe says, you're right. This is the center of magic. But you know what? Even if there's a central area that sells vegetables, you still bring your vegetables there because people will be able to know the difference between your vegetables and other vegetables, and they'll be able to. Why is Moshe playing their game? Why is Moshe saying, you're right, this is the center of my ability? Moshe should just say, this is not magic. I'm not bringing magic into a place of magic. I'm bringing something different. I've got a whole different message for you guys. Moshe realizes that they're stuck in their narrative. They're unable to listen. So he has to go into their narrative. I'm using a little bit of my own terms. He has to descend into their narrative. Say, even within your narrative, that this is a skill that you have, rather than a silly form of black magic, you should be able to see the difference between your magic and mine. Basically, Moshe descends into being a magician. He doesn't say that, but the reason he makes believe he's a magician is because he can't detox them from their preconceived notions. In fact, if you look at Shin, a little synopsis of Shin, he doesn't talk about it. There are a lot of magic acts that Moshe is performing in Shin. He takes two handfuls of soot, and he puts it into one hand, and he throws it up. He throws up. Yeah, good luck with trying to throw soot up in your face. All of a sudden, it raises into the heaven and spreads. And Rashi already points out there are a lot of magic acts because Moshe is trying to descend into their world and to defeat them in their world, rather than trying to get them out of their world and illustrate or educate them about the differences between monotheism and paganism because they're too far gone. So his face-off with Paro is a face-off with arrogance and hubris and kaveh le'paro ve'chazak le'paro. His face-off with the Chartumim is you should be seekers of truth and you should know better because you are seekers of truth, but sometimes you get stuck in a narrative and you're not able to see the truth. And then he's talking to his Talmidim, use truth as your beacon, as your torch, to try to see through things, but don't predetermine your conclusions before you employ that search for truth. That was so vital to the great students of Chelm and Rav Simcha Zisel Brodus Yeshiva. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Good Shabbos. Welcome to the Chesbin Board.